down in the Mefarshim. So there's the sugya which everybody, I think most people have heard of, which is the makif and the nikif. In other words, lo sakif upas roishchem means that you're not allowed to create, you're not allowed to cut your pears off so that you create a nice round frytak haircut. And the Mefarshim say, Gemara learns it out from Droshus, that there is a makif and there is a nikif. There's the person who's giving the haircut, calling the barber, and there's the person who's having the haircut, who is the customer. So who is over when a Jewish barber cuts off the payas of, that barber, well, he was a Goyish barber, actually, at the time, who cut my payas off, before the bar mitzvah, when I was a child. So, who's over if he is mashchis pas zekonecho, or if he's basekif or pas roishchem? So the Gemara says, echod amakif, ve'echad anikif is chayev, and the chiyev will be malchus, because it's a lav sheyesh boi masa. It's a lav sheyesh boi masa. What does the nikif do? The nikif, the customer, the person who's having the haircut, he is l'choyer passive. He is just sitting there doing nothing, and therefore it should be at best. Either he's not over, or he's not doing anything, he's just sitting there and having it done to him. Or at best, it would be a malocha, a lav she'ein boi masa, in which case there wouldn't be any malchus. Says the Gemara, no. Echad amakif, echad anikif. Why? Because you move your head according to the directions of the barber. Everybody doesn't sit totally 100% still in the barber's seat. And from time to time, the barber himself will either ask you to bend forward or bend backwards or sideways, etc. He'll move your chin up, whatever it is, and therefore you are moving in accordance with the makif, and therefore your echad amakif echad anikov are both chayev. But it says that if he does not do anything, if a person were able to sit completely still and do nothing, then there would be only an issa, but there wouldn't be a chayev malchus. Okay, it wouldn't be as strict because he's done a lav she'ein boi masa.
But he let somebody cut his hair.
He allowed somebody to cut his hair, but he was complete. He didn't do a melocha.
So
a melocha, a lav. So he's over the lav. Of a lav she'ein boi masa, ain't loikin olav. So if it's mana bikdosh, when there was malchus, he wouldn't have got malchus.
The one giving him the haircut would get
The malchus.
And he who absolutely volunteers and enjoys the haircut.
The one who volunteers and enjoys the haircut, he doesn't get the malchus, providing, but it's very rare that a person would be so totally still that he doesn't do any movements in order to facilitate the haircut. So therefore it's probable that he would be over.
Toyota Thruway Northwest London, Sunday, Yud Ches Cheshvan, 9th of November. Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Liebman Shlita, Godless Ha'odon. This week's Torah is sponsored by family Brody, little Tzimul Samus, our mitzvah of Brody in Arayoya. The mitzvah is coming. Shabbos, he rots in Shitzvah, her always came up, Lorav, Nachas, Nukon Yosef, Latahem, Lenishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yosef Doe, Ben, Rabbi Shimon, Michal, Tzvi, Itzkovitz, Chron, and Livrocha.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This time of the year, we're going through the parashas of the Ovis, Sefer Yeshorim, Parashas Bereishis, Sefer Bereishis. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And as Chazal say, Mosa Yagiu, Maisai, Lamaisai, Avoisai. So we start asking ourselves, how can we be shayach to Avraham Avinu, to Yitzchak Avinu, to Yaakov Avinu, to learn from them and not just learning from them, it's more recognizing just who they are, who they were, and what they represent, at least on our level, how we can relate to that. In Shemini Esra, we begin by saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov is an introduction that means we're saying Ribbono Shel Olam, Elokeinu, that means we've got our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. Elokei Avraham, it doesn't start today. This is a hemshech, this is something that comes from the past, and it's who we are. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. There's a different, kivyochel, a different level of elikus that we know from Avraham, that we know from Yitzchak, and we know from Yaakov. Yeah? Of us each must have taught us something, otherwise the relevance of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov wouldn't be something that we'd be talking about. Mr. Halev Weintraub once said that he just read this way, and it struck me. We tend to think of Elokei Avraham Avram recognized the Rebbeinu Shlom, which is true. He recognized Midas HaChesed, Yitzchok Midas HaGvura, Yaakov Midas HaEmes. The way he put it was that it wasn't just that Avram Avinu saw Midas HaChesed and understood it. Avram Avinu became Midas HaChesed. If you'd have seen Avram Avinu, you'd have had an opportunity to look at Midas HaChesed of the Rebbeinu Shlom. His whole life represented that Midas HaChesed, and you saw Chesed when you saw Avram. Watching Yitzchak would have taught you Gvura. And just observing Yaakov, and you'd sense what it means, Midas HaEmes and the Pe'er, of what that balance looks like. That's who they were, Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. We then go on in the Shemoneh Esrei, and we say, Okeil HaGodol, HaGibor, V'Hanoiro. And the Gaon says, it's not just three praises that were picked. It's an expression of what it means, Elikei Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, what that means to us. When we say the Rebbeinu Shlom is Elikei Avram, that's Godel. Elikei Yitzchak, Gibor. Elikei Yaakov, Noiro. Two out of the three, I think, are quite intuitive. A Gibor is Yitzchak, because Yitzchak's Midas HaGvura. Noiro being Yaakov, even though it's an avoidance to work out how that relates to everything we know about Yaakov, but we know that Noiro relates to Yaakov from Chumash. He's the one who says, "Man Noiro, Amakim Azeh." What has Godel got to do with Avram? Why is Godel Midas HaChesed? Godel somehow is Shayach to Avram Avinu. And that's really what I'd like to look at a little bit today. On some basic level, what is Gedula? What does it mean, Godel? In Vayivorech David, we say the seven shvachim of the Rebbeinu Shlom, which Gemara says in Brachas, relates to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is manning the world. L'cha Hashem HaGedula, HaGvura, HaTiferes, VaNitzach, VaHoid. And we know that that represents the Midos Kivyochel, the Hanhogas, the different systems with which the Rebbeinu Shlom runs the world. Gedula, Gevura, Tiferes, Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes. Right? So clearly, Gedula and Chesed are very, very closely linked. It's God Lecha, the Medrash says, Midas Tuvcha. Godel somehow is a Midah of Toiva. But if you think about how we use the word Godel, do we use the word Godel to reflect Chesed so much? Talking about a child growing up, he becomes a Godel. That's what happens at the Bar Bas Mitzvah. The child was a cotton, and now they became a Godel. Is that something we associate directly with Chesed? Of course, Chesed is one of the mitzvahs, so Shleitzach, one of the Tariq mitzvahs is Chesed, so every child as they grow up. But at a Bar Mitzvah, you find people talking about Tefillin, maybe the first mitzvah being Shema, or your Torah, maybe Torah comes up, but rarely hear somebody talking about Chesed, because that's not naturally what we associate with Godel. What has Gedula got to do with Chesed? Yeah. So I'd like to share a chiddush. I think it's a chiddush of Reb Shimon Shkab. I'm not sure Reb Shimon would have said it's such a chiddush. I think on some level, when you think about it, it really is a tremendous chiddush. Chiddush is in Sefer Shari Yesha. Sefer Shari Yesha is full of chiddushim. Chazokas, Roiv, Dinei Momon. There's a lot of chiddushim in Shari Yesha. But this is not quite inside the Sefer. It's in the Akdoma. An Akdoma of Shimon Shkop. I'm Shimon Retzadurch. What it means when we talk about Shleimus in Ben Adam L'Chavir. I think when we watch someone's behavior, we often can't help noticing how much chesed that person has, how much bin Adam al-Khaveri there is in that person. Hopefully we see it in ourselves too. We watch, was that a kind action? Was that... But the language we use is, was that selfish or was that selfless? The more selfish a person is, the more they're involved with themselves. The more selfless a person is, the more they're able to relate and help other people. Which means that the ultimate shleimus in Ben Adam L'Chavira is a person who's completely selfless. Yeah. I'm nesoira to this from a chosen. So the Chosen class, he'd been taught the yisod of a successful marriage is one thing. You've got to live selflessly. If you're living for yourself, then you're always going to get into fights. It's always going to be trouble. It's always going to be problematic. You say a good marriage, midas achesed. Rav Dessler would say to be a nosing, to be in it for someone else. True marriage is when the husband comes in and his focus is one thing: how can I make my wife happy? I'm sure our Chosin is hoping that the Kala is getting similar lessons. And she's being told that the whole purpose of a marriage is one thing: your husband's happy. And the truth is, it works. When a husband and wife are both dedicated to each other's needs, then there's bound to be shalom bayis. Yeah. Where the fights are, he wants to do what she wants, what she needs, she wants to do what he... No, that halavai for the problems with shalom bayis. He wants to go to the holiday where she likes the holiday, she wants to go where he wants the holiday. Mistama, they'll find the pshara that way around, yeah. But it is a bit interesting. He only wants her, she only wants him. So, that means they both want opposite things. Is that the ultimate? Is that the perfection of marriage? Well, somebody else put it, if he's totally selfless, then who is she marrying? If a person doesn't have a sense of who they are, then there's no space really for somebody else. Reb Shimon's words, Im ein ani li, mi li. If I've given up my whole ani, so who am I? The tachlis of Ben Adam and Chaveroi isn't to cease existing. Isn't that the person stops existing? Because in a relationship, if you're not there, there is no one to relate to. So of course it's important that you exist, right? Of course, we need the person to be there. So Shimon Aniridiyazach. But the question is, what do you identify with? What does the person identify as ani? Who am I? And there are small people and there are great people. Anoshim gedolim and anoshim ketanim. An Adam Katan is somebody whose whole ani, whose whole sense of self, only includes themselves. How do we say that in English? We talk about people living in a bubble. They live within themselves. The whole, he's right. If you have no ani, you don't exist. Im ein ani li mili. But as the Mishnah continues, Reb Shimon, uchshani la'atzmi. If my ani only includes myself, mo ani. What sort of ani is that? Where's the gadlus? Where's the greatness? Where's the ability to become something bigger, to become something greater? Real marriage. I think everybody understands what real marriage is. Certainly if you've been there. It's to sense that the pieces, the him and the her, they're just parts. And the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. There's something greater called us. And when he says us and she says us, they mean I care for you. It doesn't have to be quite, you know, Rabaria Levine's visit to the doctor as my wife's leg is hurting us. It's a darga. But it's a sense of I'm more than just myself. We are a couple, and I'm protective of us. I'm caring for us. That's what Ahava is. What is it with Ahava? When we talk about Ahava and Achdus and its Gematria Echod, it means sensing a unity with someone else, sensing that closeness, sensing that together we become something greater, we become something bigger. Family, siblings, a person can include his siblings within himself. That is who he or she is. Ani has grown. A bigger person, when they go to shul and belong to a kehillah, the kehillah is part of who they are. There's ani, there's an achrayas. Someone in my kehillah needs something, and therefore I need it too. I need them to be looked after. That's what it means to have a kehillah. There's a greatness in belonging to a kehillah, because the person has expanded their sense of ani. When a person starts to grow beyond that, then there's ani ircho. They live in my city. I can sense they're part of my identity. And that means I'm also achroi for them. A person includes more than just himself just the narrow sense of his own existence. A real Yid, who's Eichet Mikayim V'Avtal Re'ach Kamoichal, sees all of Klal Yisrael, senses the Ani has spread and expanded to include all of Klal Yisrael. He's gone beyond the Ani Le'atzmi, and now the Ani is all of Klal Yisrael. Isn't that Gadlus? Isn't that to be Godoil? To be Godoil means to be able to see beyond oneself and sense the needs of another person. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze El Echov. Moshe grows up in the palace. He's comfortable. He has everything he needs. He's not being persecuted. He's not being chased. He has everything available. A perfect life. But Vayetze El Echov and his Noise Ba'oil Im Chaveiroi, he senses the needs of Echov. That's Gadlus. Vayigdal Moshe. The essence of Gadlus, the essence of becoming a Godoil, is the ability to see beyond oneself. A child, a baby, is aware of nothing but themselves. Right? Baby cries. The baby is not capable of, or not even aware that he has a mother. Even a child is a little older, a toddler. When a toddler cries, that's it. The only thing that child knows is what's bothering him or her. That's all. That's the only thing that exists. The fact that it's a very busy time for his mother, she's, you know, there's no way you could explain that to a toddler. Even a three-year-old, really. Have you ever heard someone saying you're acting like a three-year-old? It's exact. The three-year-old is old enough to understand that you think you can have a conversation with them. When it comes to responsibility, when it comes to awareness of another person's needs, that's not... She's walking her daughter around the chuppah, around the chosen at the chuppah, right? So you've got two mothers, and they're linked arms with the kala, and they're walking around, and her three-year-old daughter has just dropped her lollipop, or the toy that was in her peckola is just broken, and she's tugging at her mother's dress. Hello? Context. Do you know where we are? Do you realize she's just... There's something important. She knows nothing but her lollipop. That's a cotton. When an adult behaves like that, we say that's babyish. That's childish. Childish means you're wrapped up in yourself. Can you not see? Can you not sense? You're not aware of what's going on with... There's a world around you. Godoil. And if that's the call of Avraham Avinu, to be Godoil in Kivyochel, when we talk about Midas Avraham Avinu, so we recognize what he was Megala. The Rebbein Shem's Kivyochel L'cha Hashem HaGedulo. So Midas Tuvcha. He's Metiv because he's Toiv. And Derech HaToiv Lehitiv means to sense the needs of others and to be in tune with someone bigger than just oneself. That's Gedulo. There's a famous Beis Halevi in this week's Sedra. We talk about Rivka Imenu. And the test that Eliezer set up for Rivka at the time, it was for whoever would be the Benois Anche Yair. And he says, will you give me a drink? And then the question is, will she come and feed all the camels? Yeah. It's an extreme Midas HaChesed. You think about it, just imagine this fella's turned up with 10 Avodim, 10 strong men, just traveled with their camels. And there's this girl, she says she was 3 years old. She must be more mature than three-year-olds we know, but she's a child. And she's running back and forth and filling the trough for 10 camels. Can you imagine she was your daughter? What would you say? I think you said, let him do it. Why is he taking advantage of you? Midas HaChesed, she's willing to go all out. But the Beis Halevi famously points out there was more going on. Eliezer knew that he's going to put her in a bit of a pickle. Because what does he say to her? Hagmi'ini no ma'at mayim mikadich. She's come home, she's come out, she's come from her home, come down the steps or whatever, come out, come down to the well to fill up and take it back home. What does she have with her in the posuk? A kad, a jug. Yeah, not a jug like our jugs you put on the table. This was a kad, like more of a little barrel to take the water home in. So she doesn't have a cup. And he asked for a drink. If he gives him, if he gives Eliezer a sip, she's got a choice. She doesn't give him a sip. The poor fellow's thirsty. If she gives him a sip, what's she going to do now? Take it home? What with the germs of an absolute stranger? That wouldn't make sense. That would be a silly thing to do. So the only sensible thing to do is to pour the water out, refill, and go take it home. How kind is that? You turn into the fellow and say, oh, well, and you've probably got germs. That's going to make him feel good, isn't it? So she's stuck. So the only obvious but brilliant solution is that she says, oh, well, let me feed your camels. He mentioned the camels. I'll feed the camels. And that way, by watering the camels, she's going to have to fill up and refill and refill and refill. And that way, it won't be clear that the reason why she's pouring the water out is because of his germs. So he was testing her chochma as well as her chesed. When you think about this, so I always thought it was two things, two tests, chochma, chesed. I think it's as much a test for a chesed as it is for a chochma. There are times when you see somebody who's clever, seems to have a wisdom, a depth, an understanding, and manages to chap what Yana needs. And they are smart. And then you realize, that person's not unusually brilliant. It's not their chokhma, it's not their intelligence that's just been proved. Yes, they are intelligent. But what you've noticed is the fact that they have space for other people. When a person knows other people and senses it, then you start to notice who that person is. To be aware, to be in tune with somebody else's needs, creates that emotional intelligence, the recognition of what the person really needs. When we're tuned into another human being and they talk to us, we know what to say and what not to say. Whenever we put our foot in it and say something that's insensitive, it's not because we weren't smart enough usually. It's because we just weren't tuned in to how is the other person seeing this? How is the other person sensing this? What do these words mean in the context of their experience? When people walk into a shiva and they say something clumsy, is it because they're just not that clever? They couldn't work it out? Usually, I mean, that may be. There are people who are maybe less socially aware than others. But so often it's because we're not really tuned in. I've walked in, and do you know what I'm wrapped up with? My little self. Ooh, I feel awkward here. I don't know what to say. I'm meant to be Menachem. How am I going to do that? And therefore, something clumsy comes out. When we enter a shiva and we're tuned into the needs of the other person, chances are we won't open our mouths. And when we do, it's sensing how these words are going to be received and sensed and experienced by the other person. Otherwise, why would I open my mouth? Godoil or cotton? And Rosh Shapiro used to say the word godoil refers to something that flows, something that goes forward. God is mazel, Loshon Yizal, to flow. It can mean the opposite. Also, as many words in Loshon HaKodesh. But God means to mazel, flow. In Aramaic, gudu, gudasik, gudachis. A godoil is Moshechis Saleiv. That's God. There's something that flows, this connection. And you sense it's coming from somewhere, going to somewhere. What's the opposite of God? Cotton. Cotton. Cot. Kotua. Cut up into little pieces. A child is someone who just sees a narrow little perspective. A God is someone who sees further. When the Beis Halevi gets a visitor, wants to know just before Pesach whether he's allowed to use milk for abacosis. Famous story of Beis Halevi. Same Beis Halevi about Rivka. So he takes out some money from his desk and he gives the fellow a nice choshva donation. And when he leaves, his son says, Tati, that's not what wine costs. You gave him a lot more than you need for abacosis. His father says, what do you mean, abacosis? If he was asking a shayla about milk for abacosis, he doesn't have flesh. So he had to pay for his meat bill as well. Yes, Beis Halevi was brilliant. But he noticed that because he was in tune with another yid. Yeah. To be able to say a vort like that about Rivka, you have to have sensed that. Godoil, sumidas tuvoi. To be mative, one has to have gadlus. One has to be able to see the bigger picture. A cotton will never see that. A shaykhis to kihila, gadlus. To sense beyond myself. to sense there's a Klal Yisrael that's bigger than just me. But when it comes from Gadlus, it produces real building, real binyan. When it comes from Katnus, then the talk, the Shema Kehila, is also something that's small and binyan not arim stira. Gadlus, going beyond. The story they tell of the Shaila from Kerestir. I was once at Tish, and there was a visiting rabbi. And he told over the story. He said that straight after cutting the challah, strange thing, but Rav Shaila stuck his hand into half of the challah, pulled out the white, handed it to his gabba, whispered some instructions, and gave it somewhere right to the other side of the room, right at the back of the wall. And then he carries on cutting the challah. This piece of challah only has crust now. But he gives out the crust, and then he carries on giving out the challah. This rabbi couldn't contain himself. He said to Shaila, "What were you doing? What is that?" He said, "But you saw, you didn't see the yid without teeth." He said, "I saw the yid's teeth are falling out, and you couldn't chew the challah, so I quickly went to take some wipe for him." Yeah. So the rabbi said, "Had I noticed the yid without the teeth, of course I would have done the same. But I didn't notice. That's the difference. That's where gadlus is. When we talk about gadlus batoira, and we talk about Adam Godel, what we mean is, he was a great Talmud Chacham. And yet, all our G'dayli Torah, just think, all our G'daylim B'Torah, we also have stories about their chesed, about their sensitivity, about their ability to notice the needs of another yid. Who taught them that? They went to yeshiva, they were training in Torah, not in chesed. The answer, poshet, is, when a person becomes Godoil, they are Godoil. You can't be Godoil B'Torah and not be Godoil in Benon Chaveri, because then you won't have Gedula. And a person who doesn't have Gedula in his cotton cannot be great in Torah. Because to be great in Torah means to see beyond one's narrow perspective. The challenge in a sugya is not just a question of Seichel Tayyi. Do you sense that you're in touch with something greater than yourself? Do you have space, Kivyochel? Avraham Avinu, Midas HaGedula. The Avraham Avinu of last week's Sedra, the Avraham Avinu of Chesed, of Meitiv, who's doing so much for his guests. The Avraham Avinu this week, who's sending Eliezer to find the Baras Chesed for Yitzchok. And the Avraham Avinu of Lech Lecha, who's the Ma'amin, who's the one who spreads a Munah and a Borei Olam. Because the same Midah of Ava, same Nedivus Lev, so Moshe Mirashin, Chagig of Gimel Neridi. Nedivus Lev is the ability to sense that there's a Borei Olam. The same Nedivus slave, there's space for other people, because that's Gadlus. That same Midas HaGadula allows space, Kivyochel, for Borei Olam. A person who's cotton, a person who's narrow, a person who's small, only lives with themselves and their own negius, has no space for Borei Olam. Makes them uncomfortable. It takes Gadlus, Nedivus slave, a willingness to recognize, wow, whose world am I in? That's Nedivus Lev, that's Chesed. We all know that together with Chesed comes Hakaras HaTov, the ability to appreciate what other people are doing for us. When one senses this, the Midas HaGadula, it opens up within the Nefesh, the balance and the sense of unity, the sense of Ben Adam L'Chaverim, Ben Adam L'Amokim, being part of one Marech, part of one system. Because if a person's Godoil, it's Godoil ben Olam Chaveiro and Godoil ben Olam Lamokim. And Rachman says that when we slip into Katlus, when we narrow things down, and all we can see is something small in front of us, and we're involved in our own little needs, wrapped up in them, then we have no space, Kivyochel, for the Ravon Shalom, and no space for others. And someone who's mated to others becomes Godoil ben Olam Chaveiro, Gedula, Gadlus. I don't know if any of us will be a Godoil Ador, maybe not famous as an Adam Godel, but on some level, we can all become a little bit more Godel, and working on Gedula is one of the ways that allows a person to expand and develop all areas of the Avodas Hashem. Yeah, I can't wait.